Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Quantum Papers Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Quantum Papers Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Pawan Khaitan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Garg, Chief Financial Officer. Now, without any further delay, let me request Mr. Pawan Khaitan to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all for this first ever earnings conference call to discuss the results and the business updates for the first quarter of the financial year 2023. I hope you and your families are all staying safe and doing well. Fortunately, the past few months have been seeing a dramatic reduction in severity of the pandemic, and there has been a strong progress in vaccinations across the country. Even the economic and business environment has improved dramatically and substantially. Firstly, let me start by giving you a brief about our company for those of you who may be new to us. Quantum Papers started in 1980, and our manufacturing facility is located in Hoshiarpur in the state of Punjab. Our production capacity currently stands at 164,250 metric tons per annum. In our manufacturing facility, we are strategically utilizing agro residues like wheat straw, sarkanda, and bagasse, along with a variety of wood materials like wood logs, wood chips, and bamboo to make high quality superior grades of writing and printing paper. We produce a variety of papers like Maple Litho, Cream Wove, Copier, and also value-added specialty papers. Recently, we've also started making carry bag paper and cup stock based paper, which is seeing a huge demand in the markets, especially in the pandemic and post-pandemic scenario. We've completed our backward integration project in March of 2021 to optimize our production costs, improve our capacities by almost 20%, and further enhance the quality of our paper. The project involved enhancing our wood pulping facility, setting up of a caustic soda recovery plant, and a captive cogen power plant. Post this upgradation, our total pulping capacity stands at 380 tons per day, combining both agro and wood-based pulp. Our paper machines are capable of producing 450 tons per day. We have added a new chemical recovery plant of 500 tons solid per day, and a total capacity stands at 700 solid tons per day of processing. This plant is capable of recovering 95% of the costly chemical caustic soda that we use and reuse in our pulping process. Our cogen power plant has been upgraded with a new high-pressure CFBC boiler and new generation turbines. Now, coming to the quarter under review, we are happy to report that over the 2 years of volatile business environment and demand disruption of the paper sector caused by the COVID pandemic, the start of this financial year has been excellent, and I can comfortably say that demand-wise, we are in fact at a better position than the pre-COVID era. Unfortunately, there are still some macro hurdles at play, like inflation, supply chain challenges. But despite these, the company has reported an exceptional quarter across all financial parameters, with the backing of a strong order book, giving us the confidence of a good financial year ahead. Now let me hand it over to Mr. Roshan Garg, our CFO, to give details of the quarterly financial performance.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to brief you on the financial performance of the first quarter of the financial year 23. The income from operations grew by 86% year-on-year to Rs. 275 crores. The EBITDA for the quarter grew by 292% on year-on-year basis to 61 crores, with EBITDA margin of 22.17%. And net profit after normal tax stood at around Rs. 25 crores, which grew by 547% year-on-year with PAT margin of around 9%. The strong revenue growth was on a result of higher production and sales volume and all-time high sales realizations. Our EBITDA margins improved significantly despite rising raw materials and production costs, mainly due to cost benefits of the backward integration projects being completely realized and adding to the bottom line. Let me also explain you about the exceptional item reported in this quarter's earning. The Government of India in September 2019, by the Taxation Laws Ordinance 2019, has provided domestic companies an option to pay income tax at a reduced rate of tax effective from April 1, 2019, subject to compliance of certain conditions. The conditions mainly were that MAT credit, if any, will not be allowed to carry forward, and deductions, if any, being claimed by the client, the companies, will also not be allowed to take benefit of. So at that time, the company has a MAT credit of around 37 crores lying with it for set off, and the company was also availing deductions like Section 80IA for its plant projects, which was the deduction was available till March 22. So the company was also about to complete its backward integration projects by June 2020, and it was expecting a healthy bottom line from these projects, and the company was confident that the company will be able to set up this MAT credit from the profits of these projects. However, the pandemic came and operations were disrupted. And the company has, for 2020-21, the company has a loss. And for 21-22, this is a normal profit. So that forces us to look at whether we should continue under the old tax regime or we should switch over to new tax regime. So with the quick turnaround in the industry and the operations, and the company reevaluated the new provision and assessed its impact, and decided to opt for a new tax regime, which will be more beneficial to the company, since the company, in view of the brought forward depreciation from the projects completed in March 21, the company has brought forward depreciation, and as per the current situation, the company will not be required to pay tax in the next 2 years, and so the company will be able to save around 50 crore plus on account of MAT ahead, the company continued under the old tax regime. So the tax expense for the quarter has been considered at a reduced tax rate, and the company has written off the MAT credit of about Rs. 47 crores and has also remeasured its existing net deferred tax liabilities, which has resulting increase in an increase of Rs. 16 crores. However, this 16 crore item is a non-cash item, and does not have any impact on the cash flows of the company. The impact of this change on the assets and liabilities aggregating to Rs. 63 crores has been recognized in the profit and loss account as an exceptional item in this quarter. However, this has no impact on the operational profits, and the company expects that opting for the new tax regime would result in positive cash flows in the future. I now hand back the call to our Vice Chairman and MD, Mr. Pavan Khetan.
So, investors, as you may be aware, from 1st July 22 onwards, the central government's decision to put a complete ban on single-use plastic products is a shot in the arm for the paper industry, as paper is the most viable and sustainable alternative to plastic. Going ahead, you will see a surge in demand for specialty paper due to this welcome move by the government, and it can benefit us immensely. Quantum has already developed new products to cater to this demand, like straw-based paper, cup stock with a bio-coating instead of a PE coating, carry-back paper, and food packaging paper, including biscuit wrapping, which is going to be in huge demand. We are also looking at OGR, oil and grease resistant proof paper, release paper, and oxygen and moisture resistant papers for food packaging purposes. In addition to this, the implementation of the national education policy is expected to further provide a big boost to the industry, especially players in the writing and printing paper segment. In conclusion, we are happy to start this year on a strong footing and with a strong demand outlook, healthy order books, backward integration projects completed, and with an improving product mix, we are optimistic of our future growth outlook. With this, we can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dalpat P. Mehta from Sun City Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. I have three queries. First, I would like to know what capacity utilization company expect for the remaining quarter of this year. Second one is that you have written off due to this new tax regime some 63 crores as exceptional items, and that will not have any impact on cash flow of the company. But can you tell me how much benefit company is going to have on this account in the coming future, within this year or the next 2-5 years. The third one and the most important is the company has already set up a pre-commercial plant titled as Cellulogic Ethanol Pilot Plant. What benefits are likely to accrue from this, and when it will have a revenue accretive impact in the company's balance sheet? Is there any tie-up or negotiation is going on with any PSU in this regard? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mehta, for your questions. With regards to the capacity utilization, we are very confident and optimistic that it will be 100% capacity utilization, which we are even currently doing, and we will be ending the year on our capacity utilizations completely. With respect to the new tax regime, we are clearly going to save on MAT payment, which will be to the tune of almost minimum 50 to 60 crores over the next 2 years. With the healthy cash inflows and cash profits that we are likely to achieve, we are envisaging that this is the kind of MAT repayment that would have occurred in the old regime, and now with the new tax regime, this is the amount that we are likely to save. As far as the ethanol project is concerned, yes, we've had a final certificate from BIRAC DBT, which is Department of Biotechnology, Government of India, which has fructified and established and given the go-ahead on the usage of this technology. Now, this is a very small pilot plant, and we've invested in this technology as an optional for us, and we are looking at various options of how to monetize or make use of this technology furthermore in the near future. But to be very specific, we want to concentrate on becoming and keeping to a very our basic product, which is paper. We want to become a strong paper player, and hence we are not going to see very much big or great revenues coming in from the ethanol piece of it that technology, as and when it justifies, will not be a centerpiece for us, for sure. Thank you.
So in near future, there is not much revenue is likely to come from this.
So we are wanting to concentrate on paper, which is going to give us a very, very good revenue prospect. We are wanting to grow in paper alone. There are lots of opportunities that are coming by for paper, and this is where we want to concentrate. Ethanol will at best be a byproduct for us.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raj Nahak from Millie Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Raj Nahar. Anyway, congratulations on good set of numbers and also starting the interaction with the shareholders for the first time. So again, congratulations. My question is on the fuel and power and fuel. You have been using earlier coal in a big way, and still now this quarter the cost of power and fuel is quite high compared to other players who have just reported the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So are you still using coal, or you have shifted over completely to say like rice straw, and like your other North competitors are using with the new boilers which were installed. Mm-hmm. And they are using even the rice straw also in the boiler. So are you able to use the rice straw also? And in future, what could be the saving arising? Because the other competitors in that area, they are claiming power cost is just around 3 rupees or below 3 rupees.
Mm.
Steam is not counted in that. So yes. Can you highlight on the power side, please?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Nahar, for this question. We've invested in a high-pressure CFBC boiler, and where the usage of, yes, we are continuing to use coal, but we are also using rice husk. And the combination of this is about 40% coal and 60% biomass, which is rice husk. Unfortunately, a boiler that is required or that can burn rice straw is a very different setup. We don't have that technology, and it doesn't make sense for me to invest in another boiler just to use rice straw. We are using, continuing to use biomass, which is rice husk and coal, but because of this high technology, high pressure CFBC boiler, we're getting a very, very good steam efficiency. We're getting almost close to 4.6 tons of steam, versus other boilers where it is in the range of 4.2. So that effectively brings down my steam cost, and with the rightful configuration along with our steam turbines, our power generation cost is also likely to be in the range of 3 or 3.5 rupees per unit going down in the future.
Okay. Sir, can you also use the cotton straw and mustard straw?
No, I'm sorry. Those are typically biomass-based boilers where the configuration of the hearth and the burning area is very, very different. So that technology is very different. We will not be able to use that. But we are clearly optimizing on both coal and husk in a big way. And even coal, we have a tie-up with Coal India under an FSA agreement, in the which we are procuring our coal more in the range of 4,500 rupees per ton rather than the 11 to 14,000 rupees per ton of coal which is costing in the open market. So our coal procurement cost is much more efficient than others.
Okay, sir. One more question. The paper market of late has been booming in a big way. In August also, there are 2 or 3 price increase. From current month also, 1st of August, there are certain kind of papers, price has gone up. To my knowledge, from the market sources, it is close to 95,000 and plus. Is that correct? I just wanted to check with you.
That is correct. That is correct. Even we are our market pricing is fetching us a realization of 95,000-96,000 rupees per ton, and that's the average realization. Depending on the kind of papers that we produce and sell, some of our specialty papers and low grammage papers are commanding even a price of 1,10,000 rupees per ton. But yes, the average will be 95,000, close about that much only.
Any plan for further growth or taking up the expansion? Or not now, just you completed last year 450 crores progress, so.
No, right now we are going to optimize on these projects itself. There will be very, very normal capex in sort of further upgrading the qualities of our paper, if at all. But yes, what we are banking on is with new products coming in, like the straw-based paper, your OGR and food packaging paper, that is what is going to help us diversify our product portfolio and help us get a better realization from the market. And also with the NEP coming in, that is going to give a boost for even the baseline writing and printing papers that we make.
Sir, one more question, if I may. This wheat straw price particularly has gone up very high, almost doubled in last, I think, 6 months, from 4,000 to 10,000 or 12,000 rupees. So how comfortable we will be, because your cost of pulp, basically, particularly from this cost, is much higher than the wood pulp by, manufactured by the integrated players like ENPL, JJ, Kosh, whoever it is, basically. So are we going to pretty be based on the biomass? Because this is a cow feed stock, and prices are cooking up actually off late.
So I agree with you that wheat straw prices have gone up, but because of our better managed processes, we are able to fetch in better yields in our agro pulping and wood pulping processes. So we are being able to offset that high price increase with better yields that we get and the better processing. We also use Sarkanda and bagasse. So Sarkanda is a material on which we've done extensive R&D, and that helps us bring down the cost of our overall pulp on an year-round basis. And Sarkanda is largely a waste material which grows in marshy lands, and the government auctions it for removal and disposal purposes. So that helps us bring down our cost of overall pulp and adds to the raw material mix and cost of pulping as well. So we are quite confident that despite these increases, we will be able to offset that cost increase by way of providing better quality, increasing the quality of our paper, and thereby getting a better realization.
Right, sir.
Because
thank
we are now a fully integrated pulp and paper operation.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. All the best, sir, for future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question on the pulp prices and the paper prices. What are the factors that is, we know how the market factors are playing at the moment and what kind of buoyant paper market is. How long do you think that this paper thing will, the buoyant market will sustain, and what causes, what factors will it cause to reverse the cycle?
So I am, Mr. Goswami, I'm very confident that for the short term, the buoyancy will remain largely on two aspects. One is with the NEP, which is likely to be rolled out in the next month or 2 months. And one is the single-use plastic ban that the government has put in. That is going to boost the prospects of the paper industry quite phenomenally. We, as paper industry, we will be required to create new products which will come in and replace the single-use plastic usage all around in many, many multifold applications. As far as pulp prices are concerned, they are currently at quite a historic high, largely a resultant of the Russia-Ukraine war which is going on, which has secluded Russia out of the pulp market. And otherwise, even a lot of industry in the US and Europe have shut down because of environmental reasons. So I think we largely the new ball set point has been created for pulp pricing, wherein earlier they were in the range of $600 per ton. They will largely remain at $850 to $900 per ton now. And so this buoyancy is likely to remain for the short term. I don't see any big ticket investment happening in paper industry in India. As and when that happens, which time will tell, and that normally the gestation period is about 2 years. So that's how long it will take for things to get a little unsettled, if at all. And but by that time, the demand will also catch up. So I'm quite confident that the buoyancy situation and the buoyancy factor should remain over the short and medium term.
Okay. So, sir, do you think any risk of import that can come when this war gets over, and then the whole cycle will reverse and the import will also start flowing in? How much of a risk do you see that?
Though the world is a stage for all players to operate, but the government has also put in a PIMS, protective information on all imports of paper that is happening. So they are going to regulate all this from starting 1st October, where every importer will have to register himself with the government of India and will have to give all details of all imports of paper that he's doing, under what grade, under what pricing. So I think the government's intention is to regulate the import of paper and ensure that nothing is sort of avoided or nothing is taken in a roundabout fashion for any kind of trader to take advantage of.
Okay. But on the other side, do you see a government risk also coming in intervening, controlling the prices in the domestic prices? Since we know the demand is so strong and paper prices are soaring, maybe the government will allow some import and, you know, control the prices to, you know, stay at a normal level.
Yes, I do not preclude government for taking any kind of such action, because they have known to take action on other industry. But I don't think anything dramatic will happen. Even if there is a control, it is going to be advantageous for the overall industry prospects, because it will be clearly more regulated. They will certainly not allow imports to happen at the cost of domestic industry. They do want, with the Atmanirbhar campaign, which is a very strong sort of provision for Government of India and the Narendra Modi government, I'm sure it will be a good open marketplace for everybody to survive and compete professionally and efficiently.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Siddharth Jain from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. I just wanted to know whether the chemical recovery plant has been operationalized and is live right now.
Yes, we put it into operation in March of 21.
Okay, so just a follow-up to that. So if I look back, in 2019, our chemical cost to sales were approximately 70%, if I'm not wrong. And so are they today. At the same level. So are we yet to accrue the full benefit of this plant, or and where do we see this going for, like, in future?
So chemical, where you see that, that's so chemical recovery, the caustic soda is only one part of it. So in the entire paper making process, there are several chemicals that we use in the paper making. On the paper machine side also, there are several chemicals that we use, like sizing, starch, and whitening agents and all. So we have clearly seen a good impact and reduction in our cooking chemical, which is caustic. And that is clearly reflected. And why you are seeing a higher cost of 17% is because all other chemicals were largely at an increase, or we were procuring at an increased rate because of the China story. Most of the chemicals, the raw material comes from China, and China has undergone quite a few market economics of its own, wherein they increased the cost of chemicals and raw materials quite substantially. One is because of their own situation for the Olympics that they were staging. Because of that, they closed down several industries of theirs. There were power shutdowns and whatnot, and that impacted the availability of raw material chemicals. So there had been a kind of a destabilization change or stage during March, but now we are getting better there, and you will see in the coming quarters that our cost of chemicals and usages will improve over a period.
Okay. So if you could just give a ballpark number, where could we see this number coming down to?
The chemical costs, I think, would reduce by between about 1 to 2%.
All right. Understood. Yeah, thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Jayba Bhajatia from Honesty and Integrate Invest. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Vaibhav Bhajatia.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier I missed your remark on our source of coal, that how we are sourcing the coal. Great, if you can just repeat that.
We have a FSA with Coal India Limited and the respective coal fields. They have set up auctions. We actually, for the last 25 years, we had a FSA, that is a fuel supply arrangement with Coal India Limited. Now, that got nullified in September last year because the government now wants to basically sequester coal for the power industry. And normal industry, whoever has such FSAs, were allowed to take part in the auctions which Coal India takes out from time and again. And whatever coal we are able to secure there starts getting registered under a new fuel supply arrangement. So we've already procured about 160,000 tons of coal, our current requirement for the whole year. And for that, we've got a fuel supply arrangement with the coaleries of Coal India. And these are at quite a fraction of a price of what is available in the open market. So our coal supply is quite, we are secure on that. Our costs are under control. So even if we are using coal, it is at an effective price and using it in an economical manner.
But e-auction, I think what you said is that we procure it at the e-auction and then enter into a supply arrangement. So e-auction sure. Prices are higher than the FSA prices, right, that we must be paying earlier.
We actually did our supply arrangements earlier in January to March, wherein we got a very good pricing, and our pricing is in the range of 4,000 to 5,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, and this will continue. So this prices has been secured till what time frame?
Till for the whole year till March 23.
March 23. Okay, got it. And so. In our power plant, obviously, you know, the biomass and rises can all are seasonal in nature.
Mm.
So when they are not available, do we run it on 100% coal, or how does it work? Or we stock the rises for the whole of the year and then continue to mix it throughout the year?
No, we do end up stocking rises periodically when the season is there and the pricing is low. So We are able to, overall in the entire year, we are able to keep to our mix of about 45 to 48% coal and balance 52% rice husk. So yes, you are right. Now that the season for rice husk is fading, and the new season will start in October, for these 2 months the coal availability is obviously higher, and the usage of coal will go up from 48 to about 55%, and rice husk will be low. Yeah, those kind of changes we do seasonally, But overall, we are able to maintain about 48% to 52% coal and husk ratio.
Right. And rice husk, what is the pricing currently for the rice husk that we are procuring? Because there has been a lot of reports on declining acreage of rice because of this monsoon. And I think if that continues, the rice husk prices will also shoot up. And given the fact that there is also alternate to coal, which is also seeing higher prices.
Yeah.
So what is the current price and are you seeing any increase in the prices for rice husk? Do you anticipate it in coming seasons?
So currently the rice husk pricing is between 8,000 to 9,000 rupees per ton. And even if they do go up, they'll go up very marginally because, you know, normally shellers and traders stock up their rice husk and try and sell it at a better pricing. But now with the season ending, they have to sort of dispense with and dispose of all rice husk stock that is available. So normally we see a reducing trend of pricing between now and October. And sort of, so it's a mix. As in how the demand is increasing, there is a need for these traders also to dispense with that old stock. So it's a mixed bag. And I don't see pricing on the rise. It will stay around these levels only.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two questions. For the quarter, what was our NSR?
For this quarter?
Yeah.
Quarter, our average NSR was about 81,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we have even recently started exporting the finished goods, correct?
Yes.
So, can you give me a breakup for the export and domestic NSRs if you have it on the field?
So, export, we are doing about 20% of our production is coming from exports. And normally the export realization we get is a little lower than domestic pricing. So on the export, our realization will be close to about 75,000 rupees per ton. But we gain on efficiency there because there are larger volumes, larger runs of the same product. So we get better efficiencies on our machine there. So there is a sort of set off that we get in terms of reduced cost of operation on export of paper.
All right. So just last question is that due to the soaring energy prices, few capacities in Europe have shut down. So how is the export market looking to you on a short-term period? Do you think that we can probably, there can be an uptrend in export realizations in a short-term period because of capacity shutdowns there?
Yes, there is clearly a possibility. But then again, China and Indonesia are also big players. And as I said, that China had temporarily shut down their capacities because of a variety of reasons. We could see the re-emergence of those capacities back in operation. And their sort of production will also go to serve these European and US-based markets. But then again, US and China has their own political situations to deal with. So one has to see of where the markets are and how and which country is able to take advantage of those demand situations getting created.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lada. That's from my end.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Govind Lal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, are you able to hear me?
Yes, please, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity for asking question. I just want to understand what was our average NSR for last quarter and what were the current prices now?
So our average realization for the quarter was 81,000 and currently our realizations are close to about 95,000 rupees per ton.
So net 14 rupees per kg prices have gone up in one month, July only.
Yes, July, August, yes.
So it is 81,000 was for whole quarter. So what was the exit prices for June end? June end, what was the exit price?
June end would be about 84,000, 85,000.
84. So how much price rise we have taken in July and August, sir?
In July, we have taken almost 5,000 rupee and a similar increase even in August.
Okay. So almost 10 rupees increase we have taken, 10,000.
Yes. Yes.
So what is your, how you are seeing, sir, going forward scenario, these prices almost have reached a peak, they should fall now, or as you already told that in short term, buoyancy will be there. So
yes.
I want to understand a little longer term your view on price trends, sir. Let us say another 6 months or 1 year. How? So now a new benchmark will be set for the prices. So that I want to understand, sir.
So I think we've hit a very historic high in terms of pricing for a product. Paper industry has never seen it so good ever in the past. And I think there's a limit to how much we can increase pricing. After all, the customer demand is not so price elastic. There will come a time if we keep increasing our prices, the customer will start shying away. So I think even if we stabilize at these pricing, it will be a very, very good position and a strong position for the entire paper industry. We will need to be careful for further increasing our pricing, if at all.
No, agreed, sir. But that's what I want to understand. A little longer term, can these prices sustain? In the short term, you told that it will be buoyant only. But I am asking from the little longer term, 3-4 quarters, 1 year, what pricing scenario you are seeing for paper?
So I think in the long term, there will be a rationalization, because I don't think that prices of this level can sustain itself for long. Though the reduction will not be in sort of higher percentages term, maybe a few percentages terms like 5-7%. But we will also see a rationalization in the cost structures. Our raw materials, which are tending to be at such a high price, we will clearly see a reduction in costs over there also. So we will be able to maintain our margins going forward.
So let us say last quarter margins we can see for next 3-4 quarters.
Yes, surely. And we, as a company, we are looking at improving our margins going forward in the 3 succeeding quarters because of the efficiency we will get on our operations and because of the change in the product mix that we are visualizing for ourselves, which will help us get a better margin and better realization in the market.
That is nice to know that, sir. What was the earlier historical high prices for our paper, sir?
Earlier historic high was like 72 rupees.
No, 72 is almost 84 plus another 10 is 94.
Correct. But that time our cost structure was also much lower. There has been substantial increase in raw material costs and fuel costs. Fuel costs have risen almost 3 times. Raw material costs have risen twice. So different cost structures. We are doing our best to maintain and give a better performance on margins.
Similarly, can you give your little opinion about pulp prices, sir, current and going forward? What you see, sir, pulp prices then?
So currently they are ruling at about $1,100 a ton. They should come down and stabilize to around $800 to $900 per ton.
So can I please one or more two questions, sir?
Sure, go ahead.
So I want to understand what's reason for such kind of price increases. Can you give your rationale for these dynamics of demand supply? Why such price increases are happening, sir?
So one is that the imports of paper have come down because of the story in China. They had shut down their plants for their own economic and political reasons. And also that because the costs have risen so much within India, the paper industry had no choice but to pass on these costs to the consumer. And there is clearly a good demand for the product of paper because of the huge outlay and focus of the government on the education sector. And education clearly needs to go ahead and rise. So the demand for all kinds of writing paper, printing paper, specialty paper, that's on the rise. And with the economic growth that the country is witnessing, I mean, we've come back, and overcome COVID in a big, strong way. And we are seeing and witnessing strong credentials in terms of growth, 7 to 8% growth. So I think all that is combining to lead to a good growth prospect for even the paper industry. And the demand is on the rise, and so the paper industry is being able to realize these good, healthy price lines.
One more thing, sir. Century Textile, I attended call and I have seen presentation. You can also go through. So you were telling that your export realizations are less comparing domestic. But
right.
Their export realizations are more, 7,000 rupees versus domestic. So why this anomaly, sir?
Maybe they've got a good network of exports. Maybe their customers are different. But normally what we are seeing, we are doing a good mix of between export and domestic. The kind of tonnages that we do for our domestic, we are clearly a winner or a leader in terms of pricing for our paper. And our paper pricing and realization that we get domestically has always been far higher than what we get for exports. Maybe it's a cause for Century to increase the domestic price.
So this is a new education policy. How much it will add, sir, net to demand, writing, printing papers?
Writing, printing paper should sort of encounter a huge increase in demand because entirely new set of textbooks will be required to be printed for the new syllabus and the change syllabus. So one can only hazard a guess that it will be close to about at least 10 to 12% increase in demand compared to the normal 6-odd% that we've been witnessing in the last 10 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. One last small question. How your raw material, you are backward integrated, sir? How we have got captive, how much percentage raw material we are captive and how much we are importing?
So we are not importing at all now. In fact, with the new wood pulp mill that we've installed and commissioned in 2021, all our raw material, both agro and wood, we are sourcing locally. That also largely from the state of Punjab in the vicinity of about 100 kilometers. Some wood we are drawing from the neighboring states of Himachal and Western UP as well. But all our raw material by and large is being sourced locally, and pulping has been done at the site in the integrated pulp and paper facility that we have.
Then why there is so much EBITDA margin variation, sir? We are around 21, 22 and JK and recently came West Coast results. Andhra paper. Andhra has shown 27% margin and JK has shown 31% margin. So why we are being kept to our own raw material, then why our margins are so less, sir?
Well, JK, West Coast and Andhra, what you've mentioned are very, very high superior mills of a large size. Their strengths are very, very huge. They've invested in manifold technology, which helps them on creating superior papers at lower costs. We are also reaching there. We've been able to do and grow organically by investing quite well. We've also reached at about 23% EBITDA margin. And we hope to increase that in the coming quarters and increase on our margins there.
Last question, sir. Thank you very much giving time. Product profile, there is any difference between West Coast JK? Because their NSR is less comparing us. So there was 78, 79 last quarter. Ours is around 82, 84, you are telling. So, what was the difference, sir? Any product profile is different from them?
No, product profile is similar. There we are all making writing, printing, wove and copier grades, their sourcing of raw material is far better because they've been at it for years and years. They've created a social forestry program for themselves where their wood procurement costs are much more economical than ours. We are also making all efforts to sort of stage and foray into that, and we will be able to sort of come out successful over the next coming years.
Hello, what I want to understand is how our NSR is more than them. That's what I'm asking. How we are able to sell in market better prices than this JK and all. That was
so,
my question.
So Delhi is amongst the highest market, I mean, highest volume market all over India. So our realization is a bit more because we are placed closer to that market. All these mills of JK's, Andhra and West Coast, they are placed further away. So their sort of freight factor is a higher factor and a higher cost to them, which goes to reduce their margins. Plus, we do a lot of customized paper making. So we produce to orders, and we are being able to supply and serve orders of all kinds, no matter what size, no matter what GSM, no matter what quality, amongst the qualities that we make. So we are clearly a market-oriented operation, and we are able to take advantage of that in terms of a better premium.
Thank you very much for giving time and answering all my questions, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Keshav from Raksan Investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, what was the maintenance capex for FY22 and tentatively how much would be incurred in this year?
So maintenance capex is to the tune of about 12 to 15 crores, and it will be a similar amount this year as well.
Sure, sir. And sir, we are seeing realizations increasing due to various factors. So would there be a commensurate impact on the RM as well?
Raw material?
Yeah, sorry.
So raw material is, yes, raw material is already at its peak. Wheat straw pricing, fuel pricing, all is at its peak. So we've been able to manage those costs well. So any increase, further increase in our realization is probably going to go straight to our bottom line. We're not going to see a further increase in raw material or any substantial change in raw material per se.
Okay. And, sir, I'm just one last thing. I'm not aware of the ethanol foray. So what are we doing there?
So ethanol is a technology that we invested in about 4 or 5 years ago. It's a very, very small pilot plant. It's an alternate technology. Considering we were in the biomass hub of and the state of Punjab, so it's about taking a green initiative. And so we've invested in that technology. Now, how to monetize it is something that we are yet in the plans of. But clearly, we want to be a dominant paper player. And any offshoots or any realizations from ethanol will be very, very secondary.
So we've in-licensed the technology, right? And we'll be doing it for the sell ethanol going forward.
Okay, correct.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's no problem.
Yes.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Joindray Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations for the very good set of numbers, sir. The first question is, you mentioned realization was 81,000 in this quarter. What was it? What was it in last quarter, sir? In Q4?
Q4 would be about 67,000 rupees per ton.
67. Okay, sir.
Yes,
okay. And sir, my question, another question is on the capacity utilization. You mentioned it is running at 100% capacity utilization, and it will be same for the rest of the year. So, are we planning for any capacity expansion or any capex planned in the near term?
No, nothing at all. except for the normal debottlenecking and whatever normal capex is to get better efficiencies, but no major capex at all for the near future.
Okay, so can you help me with what kind of capacity expansion will it be done after this debottlenecking? I mean, capacity, by what percentage the capacity will go up?
It may go up by about 5 to 10% max.
Okay. So the majority of the growth for this year will be from improving realization from the new products, right?
Yes, new product profile, better realization, and of course, further enhancing the efficiency and of our operations and reducing our costs.
So just a follow-up on this, you mentioned realization with improvement, we are looking for some new kind of products. So are these products already commercialized or this are going to be coming in this year? Like, can you throw some color on this?
No, it's not. It's in the process of getting developed, and I am sure that by the next 2 to 3 months, we will see the implementation and establishment of these products in the market as well.
And these products are going to cut up to our existing clients, right?
Yes, the network will be the same, but the applications will be different. Most of it will be to replace single-use plastic, which has been banned by the government.
Okay. So can we expect easily 20% kind of revenue growth this year when you compare to FY22, sir?
Yes, that will be correct. At least 20-25% top line growth compared to last year. That's correct.
Okay. With similar kind of margin, right? 22%.
We will certainly try for that. But yes, we've already achieved a better margin of about 23%. We should plan up it by about a few percentage points by the year end.
Okay, sure. Sir, thank you, sir. I'll get back to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you all for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we've been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors. We are very thankful to all our investors who stood by us and had the confidence in the company's growth plans. And with this, I wish everyone a great day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Valorem Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.